everyone. This is Frank Riker.
And this is Darren Sands.
And this is the Slaughter Lamb Podcast. Darren, let's get sick for a minute.
Okay.
Let's try to make people barf up their breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And let's talk about, you know, bodily fluids, slime, and goo. Let's talk about the stuff that nobody wants to talk about. Let's do it.
Yeah. I was excited about this. When you suggested this, I was like, yeah, let's just call it, because you said slime and goo, and I was just thinking, well, they're kind of the same thing. Let's just call it goo. I just like the word. You know, but we can have some fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And initially, I was just thinking about, you know, there's some obvious ones out there, and I guess the really obvious one that people will be expecting us to talk about, but I'm not a big fan of the film, and that's Society. And, you know, there's so much goo in that film and I don't even understand it and things like that. It's just bizarre, and, you know, I don't really rate the film. So I'm going to leave that one off anyway. But what have you got first?
Well, no, let's talk about that. Have you been in an orgy that messy?
Not this week. It's a horrible film. I don't even like it. I mean, it was quite an accomplishment, I guess, with all those visual effects and stuff. But what does it mean? What is it? You know, it's just nasty. I think
it's one of those hitting meanings, right? That society basically fucks you over and will fuck you any which way it can, and it's just all. Yeah. Self gratification, but you know what? More importantly, how many people have you met that were just talking right out of their ass?
Well, it was kind of the first movie to do something like that, I guess, because you had the Preacher show where you had Ass Face. Mm-hmm. It was a kind of similar thing, but no, I don't even like thinking about Society. I just think it's just
I do like Devin DeVasquez in it, though.
I don't even remember who that was.
Okay, we'll move on. She's the contortionist in the middle of the movie.
It's a she? Okay.
Yeah, it's a she.
Fair enough. Okay.
She was also in House 2. Okay. She was the virgin being sacrificed.
Oh, okay. Oh, well. You know, she's done well. I think it's like 30 years since I've seen that film. I didn't like it then, and... You know, I'm not that keen on it now, but okay, let's go. What have you got first?
My first one is the remake of The Blob.
Right.
I think the remake of The Blob is one of those things, like The Thing the remake is better than the original.
Yeah,
you know, and you can actually see, you know, this blob, this entity from outer space, when it consumes people, it basically just rips their flesh apart. You saw that in the hospital in the beginning. You know, this guy being sucked into the blob, and he's trying to go after Shawnee Smith. Shawnee Smith, yeah. And you see that he's getting pale, his eyes are white, and he's trying to still get out. Or you see the sheriff the lady is calling the sheriff from the phone booth, and the blob is engulfing it.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
You see his skeleton.
Yeah.
Or all the kids being killed, you know, one of the kids dies from the blob, you know, it just sucks him through the water, you know, one of those few movies where kids actually die.
Yeah.
Yeah. But The Blob remake is better. I think that's the consensus for everybody. What'd you think of The Blob?
I liked it. I saw it at the cinema when it first came out, which would have been like 1988,
something like that. Yeah. Later 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. It 80s. Was one of the first 18 rated movies I think that I saw, and wasn't it one of the Dillons, Kevin Dillon, I think, that was in it?
Mm-hmm.
Was one of the lead guys. He was like a biker guy. I was surprised at how good it was, and I actually saw it recently, maybe a year or so ago, and I was quite impressed with how well it holds up as well. The effects work pretty cool in it, and when I first saw it, I hadn't seen the original Steve McQueen one. And so I gave that a watch. It was on TV at some point, and it's pretty awful, isn't it?
This one holds up.
This one does hold up. It does. I'm not sure whether it would be worth remaking again, whether people would take it as, you know, as seriously as they did when this remake was made. Because it has its fans, doesn't it? And it's quite well respected as a horror remake. That's a good choice. It's a good choice. It's probably one of the go-to ones. So the go-to sort of gooey films, I think we probably should get out of the way first.
Yeah. And so that's one.
So the next go-to goo movie, I think, is The Thing. Obviously, one of our favorite films of all time. Mm-hmm. The obvious choice for goo, I think. But it's a masterclass in goo, I think. Rob Bottin, who was probably around about 23 or 4 years old when he did this. The one scene that always sticks out in my head, there's two actually that you would class as incredibly, I guess, dripping with goo. The autopsy scene with Wilfred, I've forgotten his, I was going to say...
Brimley.
I was going to say Bramble then, but he's a British sitcom star, but no, not him. The autopsy scene where the doc is breaking everything off and, you know, it's just snapping bits off and there's bits oozing out and he's trying to get to inside it and he tears it open. And you can actually, it's almost like you can smell what's going on screen, can't you? It's just so realistic and so disgusting to look at. You've also got the doc kind of stopping himself from heaving as well while he's doing it. He's kind of going, as he's pulling it all apart. Great sequence, incredibly realistic. And also the other sort of slimy, gooey moment in that film is probably the introduction to the thing at the start with the dogs in the cage, and the way that it kind of pulls the dogs apart and transforms into all sorts of different things. There's that one shot when they zoom in on the sort of the, I guess it's an imitation of the dog in the corner of the room. And it's literally, you can see it's dripping with all sorts of bloody mucus and God knows what else. But
it glistens in very little light it has,
it
right?
Does. It you does. See it. What you got next?
So let's go to, so I said The Blob in the beginning. We're going to go to a happier version of The Blob, and that is The Stuff. I don't know if you ever saw The Stuff with Michael Moriarty.
I and, did.
Garrett Morris.
Yeah, I kind of put that one away with Society, I think.
Killer Yogurt.
Killer Yogurt, yeah.
So in one of the scenes that I think is fantastic, you know, this thing is alive. Of course, it came from the ground, and you know, and what does somebody do when they first discover something boiling out of the ground? You take a lick, see what it tastes like. And so this old man, you know, he takes a lick, he goes, oh, this is good. You know, and he's licking it, and I wonder what that stuff really tastes like. You know, it's probably a combination of like Cool Whip and probably vanilla or something. But there's one scene where Garrett Morris is coming in towards the later half of the movie, and his name's Chocolate Chip Charlie, and right. the stuff has taken over, you know, so much of everything. It ruined his own business, which made, you know, chocolate chip cookies, and we know that he's been ingesting this stuff because his mouth opened so wide. And that little tongue starts flickering, and all this stuff comes pouring out of his throat. It starts going around a recording studio sound set, and one of the greatest. it was weird, but I think it was one of those cheesy great effects to come out.
is this the guy that you see on all the sort of posters for it and that with all the stuff coming out of his mouth?
No. That would probably be the kid's father.
You know, he's like, I have seen the moment you're talking about where his mouth kind of, it's almost like one of the characters from Beetlejuice. Or
I was
something.
About to
his
say that. Yeah,
opens really wide. Yeah.
That tongue is like that white stuff comes out. You know, and I could see I was watching this with my dad when I was a kid, and he was looking at me and laughing. And my mom goes, oh, that's sick. And my dad would say, just like some of the videos that adults watch, right? And I didn't get it as a kid, but now I get it. A mouthful of white stuff.
Yeah. So what you were talking about, I got to tell you this story that a friend of mine told me the other day, and he's probably going to listen to this and kill me for telling this, but I won't name any names. But basically, you were talking about kind of finding something and tasting it. Mm-hmm. Well, his wife was in the bathroom, and she noticed on the bathroom shelf there was a white powder, and she was like, "Oh my god, you know what the fuck? What is this?" So she did that thing that you see policemen do in movies about drugs, where they sort of
cocaine,
lick their finger and dip it in, and then taste it or whatever. And she was like, "Oh, it's a bit salty. Is this?" She didn't quite know what it was. So she decided to pluck up the courage to have a conversation with her husband and say, you know, darling, I found this in the bathroom, and you know, I'm a bit concerned. What is it? What the fuck is going on here? And he said, "Oh, I know what that is." He said, "I've been using that grater thing on my heels."
The pet egg kind of.
Yeah, and he'd left it on the side, and then all this kind of bits of crusty skin had dropped.
Oh.
Found out that his missus had been tasting it later that day.
A little bit of Parmesan? Foot cheese, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, dear. Anyway.
It's organic.
He's going to so kill me for telling that story. But your next story, I like that.
Your next gooey, organic...
My next gooey moment is Aliens from 1986. And there's a number of moments that you can single out in this movie. But there's a whole sequence when they go to that kind of... is it Hadley's Hope or whatever? The colony that they go to, where there's that kind of big hive. And the scene starts with kind of gooey moments with them picking up dead face hookers, and they're all stuck together with all this sticky
dead
stuff.
Face hookers!
And then they end up finding the only sort of remaining colonist who's sort of cocooned in the side of the hive, and I think her character's name's Mary, I think, and she's still alive, and she starts begging the soldiers to kill her, obviously in so much pain, but she's been impregnated as well, and so you get this moment where as the xenomorph kind of bursts. It's a chest burster scene. Incredibly messy, incredibly gooey. And also what's significant about this is it's that kind of realization on Ripley's face as well that, shit, I've seen this happen before. Do you know what I mean? And the camera really pans in on her slowly. And it's a great moment. I honestly, you know, it's one of those moments in Aliens that really sticks out. And the fact that the lady's still alive after all this time as well. And it's incredibly messy. So that is one of my, you know, favorite gooey moments. I think it's also that kind of realization that it's kind of everybody's thinking back to the original Alien when that scene happens as well. But there's also, I mean, you can single out other scenes in that movie too, like the Queen. You know, the Queen in Aliens is incredibly messy, isn't it?
Laying the egg.
Kind of like... streams all going on there, and yeah, so Aliens 1986 is my second choice.
My next gooey moment has to deal with pus is gooey, right? It's nice, it could be nice.
Lovely.
And this is a particular scene from one of my favorite movies of all time, from Brain Dead, aka Dead Alive. And that's the pus coming from Vera's arm when she's having the sit-down luncheon
with
a husband and wife of the Women's League. And
this
the
is
husband,
Peter Jackson's brother.
Peter Jackson's, right? Yep.
Yeah.
And they just had their lunch, you know, and she got bit and she's feeling tired and everything, the effects of being bit by the rat monkey. And... they're ready to leave, and then the husband goes, "No pudding." So Lionel has to go and make a custard, and he makes the custard and puts it down in front of everybody. And Vera, Lionel's mother, goes to scratch her arm, and this shot of gooey pus goes right into the husband's custard, and he eats it with this big shit smile grin, and he goes, "Damn fine custard, she won't make it," you know. And to another part where afterwards, you know, Vera's ear falls off, and then into her own custard, and she eats her own ear with the custard.
Yeah, yeah, it's a messy old sequence, isn't it?
But yeah, for me, I laugh every time. Well, my wife saw this movie. This is the one movie she never finished. We were going out. It was that particular scene, that whole dinner scene at the table. She's like, "Turn this fucking shit off. I'm a woman. I don't like this shit. I don't think it's funny. It's stupid. It's gross. And I can't believe I'm going out with you." So, I mean, we could do a whole episode on fucking Dead Alive, aka Brain Dead, you know. But
We've talked about it before, haven't we? And we're waiting. I'm actually waiting for there's, I think there's a like a remastered
Peter Jackson get off his ass and give us his 4K.
Yeah, yeah, he's gonna do something apparently. So I think we should wait for that because there's very little that you can find online with to do with the production or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so it'd be good to have these this new version whenever he brings it out as a reference so that we can talk about it a little bit more in depth. But yeah, great choice. And you know, I still remember I was working in a cinema when that movie came out over here, and I went to see it on the opening night, the Friday night, because I was a fan of Bad Taste and Meet the Feebles, obviously. It was only me and my buddy in there. Nobody else on the Friday night, the opening Friday of Brain Dead. No one knew about it at all. And still today, if you tell people, there's confusion over the title, isn't there? Because I think over in the US, it's called, is it Dead Alive?
Or it's Dead Alive, yeah.
Dead Alive. And here it's called Brain Dead. So I think, you know, but it is quite possibly one of the goriest movies I think ever made. So
and laughable. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I know
you love the baby.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And the and the Kung Fu Vicar as well. It's pretty good fun.
Your next gooey pussy moment.
My next one is kind of a little bit sort of, it's not horror related, but it's actually There's Something About Mary from 1998. Can you believe this film's 23 years old now? So basically, Ben Stiller is trying to attract Cameron Diaz, and he gets a date with her, and his friend is warning him that he shouldn't go out. He'll be a lot more relaxed and chilled if he doesn't go out with a loaded gun.
The baby batter.
He goes off and he kind of starts to relieve himself prior to the date in the bathroom, and he shoots his bolt, and he's looking everywhere for it, isn't he? He's just like looking around the room, and he's like
disappears.
He glances at the ceiling at one point, and we're like, where the fuck is it gone, you know? And then she turns up for the date, and you get this moment where Cameron Diaz is looking at him really funny, and the camera goes for a profile shot of Ben Stiller, and he's got this kind of almost like an earring of spooge just rattling away there on
relish.
The side of his this gentleman's relish hanging off his ear. And you get this moment where she sort of she looks at him, and this is kind of like, oh my god, is she going to realize what it is? And she goes, is that hair gel? So she reaches out, and he's going, no. So she grabs it off his ear and says, oh, this is great, I need some. And then styles her own hair with his nut custard.
Where it's like an epoxy.
And, you know, for those of you, I don't know if there's, you know, some of the kind of younger listeners out there, if you haven't seen There's Something About Mary, it's a great comedy, and, you know, again, amazing that it's 23 years old now. But that moment in the film was kind of, I guess, they sold
sickening
it on,
laugh,
didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they sold it on that scene. And there's some equally horrendous scenes in the film as well. But, you know, that's the one that always comes to mind whenever you mention There's Something About Mary. So, yeah, so that was my third choice.
Next on my list, now, have you ever seen Daniel Radcliffe and James McAvoy in a movie called Victor Frankenstein.
I haven't, no. No.
There's a part.
Was this based on the stage? Is it a stage production?
I don't know. I don't know. But it's a movie. Okay. Daniel Radcliffe plays Igor, or Igor, however you want to pronounce it.
The same what's his face with the eyes in Young Frankenstein?
Oh yeah, it's instead of Fred, instead of Frederick, it's Frodrick.
Right.
So he meets Victor. You know, Igor decides to go to the city, meets Victor, and Victor says, "Listen, I'm kind of a brilliant doctor and a brilliant scientist. I could take care of that." And he's like, no, I had a lot of people, you know, look at it. I'm you know, what hump, you know? And he's like, no, just don't do anything. He pushes Daniel Radcliffe onto the ground, pokes him with some kind of syringe with a tube, and siphons the pus out of his hump with his mouth, like he was stealing gas. He goes,
Jesus Christ. You
know, and just lets it drain. And then he decides to put him up and crack his back straight. But that whole part where he's sucking the goo out of him and the pus and spitting it out. Well, now Daniel Radcliffe is some kind of man about town. You know, he's some handsome guy, dresses nice now, getting women. But yeah, that one part where he just siphons the pus out of a hump.
I have to have a look at this. I've got to take a look at it.
Yeah. So that's my number four.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that. I've never seen it. Okay, cool. So my fourth choice, and it's not really a movie that instantly comes to mind when you think of goo. and it's A Nightmare on Elm Street. And there's one particular sequence in there which I think is the stuff of nightmares. And everybody's had a nightmare before, whereas, you know, you're trying to get someplace, but something or someone is stopping you from getting there. And there are two movies that I think about whenever this sort of comes to mind. One of them's A Nightmare on Elm Street, whereas Heather Langenkamp is being chased by Freddy, and she's running up the staircase to the upper level in her house, and the stairs just break, and her feet go into them, and there's like a kind of like almost like a white sort of marshmallowy substance that's
the stuff.
It's the stuff, isn't it? Yeah. Within the stairs themselves. And each time she tries to lift her foot out, her foot's kind of glued to the stair. Yep. And And it's just that horrible feeling of trying to get away from something or trying to get something and not quite being able to do it for whatever reason. And the only other film that I can think of at the moment that has a similar scene is Poltergeist. And that's Jo Beth Williams in the corridor, and this always freaked me out. It's in the third act of the film when the ghosts are, they've got Carol Ann back, and the ghosts are really fucking trying to take over the house, and she tries to run down the corridor to get to the kids, and it's a kind of rack focus shot, but they must have done something to the corridor as well to make it kind of stretch a little bit. I'm not quite sure how they did it, but she's trying to run down the corridor and it just keeps getting longer and longer and longer, and she has to run faster and faster to try and get to the end. The stuff of nightmares, you know, horrible. But yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street, the gooey staircase, is my fourth entry.
Good, excellent. My fifth one is the gooey boils on the sickos from Planet Terror.
Planet Terror. Oh, the
Robert Rodriguez.
Rodriguez thing. Yeah.
Yep. You can see where in the beginning we see Bruce Willis and his other commandos. They were exposed to this nerve toxin. And in order for them to cure themselves, they have to keep inhaling this nerve toxin to stay normal. And if they don't, they have boils and this pus and everything like that. And the whole town, you know, everyone calls them like zombies, but I don't think they're zombies. I think they're just really sick, infected people.
A bit like the guys in 28 Days Later.
Yeah. Well, they could say the same thing. Return to Living Dead was really a nerve toxin as well.
Yeah.
So, we got we did that. I mean, we got the sickos in there, but I just remember when they don't, when they don't ingest the inhale this stuff, you know, they get all these pulsating boils and the stuff just starts oozing out of them. So yeah, that's my number five.
Yeah, there's some pretty nasty stuff in that film, isn't there? It's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah,
Planet Terror. It was certainly the better of the two grindhouse.
Yeah,
not,
yeah, Death Proof was too, it was too talky, but that's Quentin Tarantino. He loves you know, he loves dialogue.
Yeah, yeah. No, Death Proof was quite boring in parts, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Planet Terror was the complete opposite. There was so much going on in there. It was such great. James Brolin, wasn't it? I think.
Yep.
Yeah,
Rose McGowan.
Yeah, yeah. Good fun. Good fun film. I don't like the way that they kind of tried to make the movie
70s.
Just look like a used print. Do you know what I mean? Like with all the scratches and jumps and cuts. And isn't there a point where there's like a whole section missing as well? It was just like,
yeah. Yeah. And there's and they have intermission because it was two movies. And you even see like those little tiny hairs that you would get on projection screen. Yeah. And it was just,
it was just too self-indulgent.
Really, really quick. You know, Benny Hill used to do that. There was one where he was running, you know, his famous, you know, at the end where he gets up and runs, you know, you know, and he was running, and there was this hair in the corner of the film. And while he was running, you know, he look up, and he see the hair, and he tell everybody to stop, and he pluck it out and throw it away.
We need more of that stuff now, don't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. So let's continue with your goo.
Well, actually, I'm just going to read out a few ones that I thought of adding but didn't. Because I was chatting to my wife about this. I was chatting to Zoe and saying, you know, what movies can we think of? It took a long time to come up with this list. You have to really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And a few honorables that she mentioned were obviously Society, which I've already kind of stuck the boot in earlier on. But the Ronald Lacey's face melting in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Or in fact, any of them that faces melt in Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's a great goo effect from mm-hmm. the early 80s. And also the swamp monster in Flash Gordon. I always think that's a horrible fucking sticky mess, is that scene, isn't it? Especially when the Birdman shoots it and it just sort of throws all this snot everywhere. So that was just a couple of ones that I was thinking about adding in, but didn't. I wanted to sort of think of something that was kind of a little bit more of a sort of, how do I say this now? Again, not something that you wouldn't instantly think of when it comes to goo. And I think that Batman 1989 and the Axis Chemicals scene, where it's not the first time we're introduced to Batman, but it's the first time you actually get a good look at him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the scene that's kind of the birth of Jack Nicholson's Joker, who I think is, for me, is the best Joker. You know, even I prefer his Joker more so than I do Joaquin Phoenix. I just think it was criminal at the time that Jack Nicholson didn't get some sort of Oscar nomination. He got all the other nominations, the BAFTAs, the Globes, all that kind of stuff. But
it's the comic Joker. It's the one read and grew up with.
Yeah. What better way to kind of continue on from somebody like Cesar Romero in the original Batman show with Jack Nicholson doing that, because he just was fucking mental and had the time of his life prattin' about playing the Joker in that film.
And the only one out of the ones who played Joker have actually won some kind of award. All the rest of them have won, like, you know, Caesar won an Emmy, you know, and he's won
Heath
some Ledger awards.
Got an Oscar.
Joaquin Phoenix got an Oscar, and poor old Jack, you know, he's gotten two for something else.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that whole sequence, and I can never quite work out what actually happens, because he shoots at Batman. Batman deflects the bullet, and then the bullet hits the gauges on the side of the toxic waste.
Mm-hmm.
And is it the bullet that hits Nicholson in the face, or is it the glass that's shattering off the gauge?
I don't know, but he has a scratch on his cheek.
Yeah,
right?
His face is cut up in either side. So he then falls over the edge, and Batman tries to save him, but he can't, and he lets him go, and he plunges into this vat of toxic waste, mm-hmm. which then obviously bleaches his skin and gives him that. But the scarring is from whatever happens is I presume is what gives him that smile. But I can never work out. Yeah, I can never work out what it is. Whether it's glass that's caused that, or whether the bullet has gone through his cheek, or you know, it's difficult to tell. But you know, it's just one of those examples of a gooey moment, if you like, that people wouldn't ordinarily think of. So Batman 1989, Jack Nicholson's Joker falling into the vat of toxic waste at the Axis Chemicals plant.
Okay. I'll do one honorable mention as well. I want to say the goo from Ghostbusters 2.
The mood slime.
Yeah, the mood slime. And you know, it every time you have negative energy, especially in New York, you know, it feeds off of that and it turns negative. But if you talk dirty to it, you know, and you like Ray slept with it, and it listens to Jackie Wilson, you know, it becomes happy mood, happy goo. It becomes polarized and opposite of what it originally was. And I remember, I think his name was Peter Nichols, right? Was that the actor? I think Peter Nichols.
Yeah.
He played Janosch.
That's right.
You know, and I remember he got doused and he woke up and he felt like a million bucks because it's all positive energy. And he goes, "Why am I drippings with goo?" And they all start hugging because they're like, "I love you too," you know, because they're all positive. So, yeah, my honorable mention is the evil or positive goo from Ghostbusters 2.
Good shout. That's good my shout. Honorable. A film that, you know, Ghostbusters, I know we're going to talk about this with Cool Summers, will we? Oh, no, I think it was it a Christmas or a summer movie?
I don't know.
I think it might have been a Christmas movie. And either way, but we probably will chat about it at some stage. But I do think that...
Guilty pleasure?
Yeah. I actually don't think it's... I watched it, I can't remember now, it was a year or so ago. And I remember thinking, I wasn't a big fan when it first came out. But watching it now, I don't think it's that bad a film.
Your adult brain kicked in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought, you know, it's probably because it's far better than anything else we've had with Ghostbusters since. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It tickled me when I watched it again.
The music's beginning to get a little bit too loud with us, and now we're appreciating the stuff we never liked as a kid.
Oh, as long as you don't come on next week and start saying things like, "Oh, I watched On Golden Pond last week, Darren. I thought it was marvelous."
Darren, have you ever preserved your own jams?
Oh, dear.
I went down and got my, you know, my 40-plus free donut with my cup of coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. Damn you father time fucker.
Yeah, all these kind of like, you know, what do we call them now? Cozy moments that we're starting to have.
Whittlewood. So your final goo. I mean, there's plenty of goos, and then we encourage people to write in the comments, you know, their famous goo moments as well. But Darren, what's your final?
Well, my final goo was Batman, so I'll let you do your final one.
my final one. You ready for this?
Go on.
From a kids movie, the Brontosaurus sneeze from Jurassic Park.
Hey, good shout.
Remember they're in the tree, you know, after the whole T-Rex encounter, and they're taking, I guess, refuge or shelter in the tree, and they wake up to a Brontosaurus, and Timmy tells his sister that it's not a Meatosaurus, it's a Vegasaurus, you know, and they're feeding it the limbs and everything like that, and they're petting it, and the sister's like, yeah, you know, oh, you know, I'm gonna try to pet it. And she goes to pet it. Come here, girl. And this thing goes back. And it seems like, you know, the Brontosaurus is just going to walk away. But Timmy says, this one looks like it has a cold. And this big snot comes right out. Right on the sister. You know, I forgot her name. Forgive me. Kate, maybe? Kate?
Yeah, I think so.
But anyway, and you just see her covered in this snot from head to toe, and just adding the you know, God bless you at the end was just the, just a highlight of that whole little, you know, little scene. And that was the part where she goes, I hate dinosaurs, you know, but yeah, that's a, I don't know. That just, I don't like it when my dog sneezes on me and I'm just like, you know, my kids, I could be like, oh, okay. You know, I just clean it up. You know, half of your snot's practically mine anyway. It's 50% of the DNA you have. Yeah, but when I first saw that as a kid, everyone in the audience at the theater was like, ooh.
Yeah, it's a horrible moment. I did have one. I just thought of that my wife actually mentioned to me earlier. And she said, I think it was 78 or 79, the Body Snatchers, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and the pod sequences.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty gooey. I know we're still kind of going to do an episode on Invasion of the Body Snatchers once we get Cool Cruel Summers out of the way. But mm-hmm. Yeah, that's quite a memorable cinematic goo moment as well, I guess.
You're making me think of other ones too. What about with Kenneth Branagh and Robert Kenneth De Niro?
Frankenstein.
Yeah, remember he's building his own Robert De Niro. Yeah. And that fluid that's in there is embiotic fluid.
Yeah, yeah.
And he comes out, you know, Frankenstein's monster is alive, and they're slipping around in all this afterbirth. It's definitely better than the Sting version.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, fucking Newcastle.
Oh, God. Yeah. Anyway,
I think goo moments.
Those are our goo moments. I think if anybody's left listening, then we'll be back next week with Cool Cruel Summers 1980. We've passed the midway point now, so it's 1985, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a huge year, a really huge year. So big that we're going to have to split the episode into two parts.
I believe so.
There are so many movies that we want to talk about in that particular year. It was a huge year. Movies like Back to the Future and Teen Wolf and Mad Max 3, I think it was, and yeah, loads of stuff that year. So yeah, we're going to do that as a two-part episode because it is going to take some time. You know, we don't want to put out a three-hour episode for that. I just think nobody's going to listen for that long. So we'll break it up into two, you know, hour and 20, 90-minute episodes. Yeah. and do it that way. And also, we're going to do, I think, the week after that, we're going to do our favorite zombies. We're going to talk about our favorite, it doesn't have to be movie zombies because there's too many, there's a lot of zombies on TV nowadays. So just zombies in general. But yeah, that's
our favorite characters.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Anything else, Frank?
Stick to the roads.
And the best of luck.
Bye.
Bye.